This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على الفلاح على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. We start out by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is worthy of all of our praise. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who shows us the truth from that which is evil, who shows us right from that which is wrong. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us people in our history that we take as examples, as role models, not just for ourselves, but for our children, of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be like. And this example can be found not just by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also those people who follow the pathway of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We send peace and blessing upon the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who helped him and aided him in his message and his mission. And his mission was that each and every single one of us get the success of this dunya and success in the hereafter. We then send peace and blessings upon the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amma ba'd, thereafter. We usually look at the month of Dhul-Hijjah as the month of Hajj, and of course Hajj is a monumental event that takes place every year. And we look at Dhul-Hijjah as the month of Eid al-Adha, which of course is one of the 2 days of celebration that as Muslims we have. But there are many other events that take place in this month of Dhul-Hijjah in our Islamic history. In one hadith, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates his hadith and he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at the hearts before putting creation together. And he found the best of hearts from everybody. And he selected this to be the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was hand chosen and picked for the message and the mission that he was going to take on. And Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he carries on this hadith and says, after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then selected the best of hearts for the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people that were going to be around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a part of what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did that was so monumental, that was so huge, was to reform the people that he was sent amongst. And to understand this a little bit better, we look at the people of the Sahaba and Tajma'een before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to them. And Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he narrates a hadith and he says that we used to be people that used to worship stone. And we used to be people that would kill our own children. And looking at the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see that going to war and killing was something very common, and womenizing was something very common. In a society that the strong oppresses the weak was something very common. When Najashi, he calls the Muslims, and he asks the Muslims that the Quraysh have come to get you, I want to hear your side of the story. Why should I not give you to your people? Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, he says, O King, we were a people that were surrounded by ignorance. And the stronger oppressed the poor. We gave preference to animals. We worshipped stone. And this is the state that we were in. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a messenger who taught us how to live our life. Not just how to worship Allah, but how to live our life. And he took us out of darkness and he took us towards light. So these were the people that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was around. And in this month of Dhul-Hijjah, a turning point came into Islam. In the early stage of Islam, where the Prophet ﷺ was preaching Islam and a few people would accept and other people would reject. And at this time, the numbers of Muslims were just about maybe 150 Muslims. And a large portion of these people had migrated from Makkah to Mukarramah to Habsha. And in the sixth year of Islam, in the month of Dhul-Hijjah, the Prophet ﷺ, he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, strengthen Islam. Give Islam power. And to segue from that hadith, and we'll come back to it, the Prophet ﷺ, later on, he tells the companions that a time will come where the Muslims will be so weak, the Muslims will be powerless. The Muslims will be just a toy. That people will hurt the Muslims and they will call others, come and hurt the Muslims with me. And he gives an example. The same way that when you sit down to eat, you call others, come and join me to eat. You don't eat alone, you call others. The same way the situation of the Muslims will be, that the Muslims will be so weak that people, nations will come and attack and hurt the Muslims and they will call others. The companions asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, will we be small in numbers? How is this possible? How is it possible that people will attack the Muslims in such a manner? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responds back and he says, no. The number will be like the bubbles on the shore of an ocean. And he gives this example saying that even though there will be so much in number, they will have no substance to them. So in the sixth year of Hijrah, the sixth year of Islam, the Prophet ﷺ makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, it's time that you strengthen Islam. And he says that to strengthen Islam with two of the Umars. One was Amr bin Hisham, and the second was Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And as we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And it was Abdullah bin Mas'ud who narrates the first hadith, who then tells Umar bin Khattab that, I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will choose you from the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the acceptance of Umar bin Khattab actually came in a few stages. We hear about the famous story where Umar radiallahu ta'ala goes to his sister's house and they're reading the verses of the Quran of Surah Taha. And when Umar radiallahu ta'ala reads this, he then turns around and says, is this what people are fighting about? This is beautiful. How is it possible that people are fighting over this? Is this what supposedly has caused a drift between families? Is this what has divided, what the people think this has divided the Quraysh? This is beautiful. This can't divide. But before this incident, there were two other incidents that happened. And the first of them, Umar al-Thaw narrates this hadith himself, and he says, I was alone and I had nothing to do. So I thought to myself, let me go to the Kaaba and harass the Prophet ﷺ. Maybe I might find Muhammad there. And Umar Dhan said, I snuck between the Kaaba and the cover of the Kaaba. And as I got closer, I began to hear the verses of the Quran that Rasulullah ﷺ was reciting. And Rasulullah ﷺ was reciting the verses of Surah Haqqa. And Surah Haqqa is very melodious. It flows very beautifully. And the words are amazing as well. أَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِ As for that person who receives the right book of deeds in the right hand. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِشِمَالِ And Umar Dhan says that as I'm listening to the Quran, I came to harass the Prophet ﷺ. But the Quran had an effect on me. And I kind of forgot why I was there. I was in a daze. And I snapped out of it and I said, wow, this person right here is a beautiful poet. He's a next level poet. Whereas the Prophet ﷺ was ummi. But then Rasulullah ﷺ recites the verses, وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ This is not the verses of a poet. قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ Because if it was, it wouldn't purify your hearts. Umar Dhan says, immediately I thought to myself, how did he know I was thinking of that? He's a magician. He's a soothsayer. He does this hocus pocus that he knows what I have hidden in my heart. And the Prophet ﷺ says, وَلَا بِكَوْلِ كَاهِنٍ These are not the words of a soothsayer. If it were, then you wouldn't believe. تَنْزِيلٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ They have been revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look at these incidents, what you will see is that the one thing that affected Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, before we get to that, people at the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they would say that it's more likely that the donkey of Khattab accepts Islam than the son of Khattab accepts Islam. That's how much hatred Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had, and his hatred wasn't personal. His hatred wasn't materialistic. There were some people who hated Islam for different reasons. For example, Abu Lahab, he hated Islam because he thought to himself, why not me? I'm the treasurer of Makkah. I'm rich. He's from my family. Why did he get this message and not me? And there were other people who wanted the power that the Prophet ﷺ had, as we see later on in life of Rasulullah ﷺ, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Sulul, Ra'is al-Munafiqeen, his animosity toward the Prophet ﷺ was that he was supposed to become the leader of Medina, but when the Prophet ﷺ comes in, this power goes to the Prophet ﷺ, so his animosity was personal. But when you look at Umar bin Khattab, the reason why he disliked Islam was that Islam, it caused a friction between Quraysh, and Quraysh was known to be extremely united. Even the word Quraysh, the Mufassirin go into the meaning of the word Quraysh, and it comes from the word Qarsh, which means an army, and Quraysh means a small army. That's how united they are. And the other Mufassirin say that Quraysh is actually, it was a mythical creature that they believe that destroys ships in the ocean that we would now understand would be like a whale. That if you step up to the Quraysh, they would destroy you like this mythical creature destroys ships. And this is why Umar bin Khattab disliked Islam. But then once he accepts Islam, we see that his name now changes. Umar remains Umar, but with him comes the title Al-Faruq. You and I get the same message of the Quran. And a lot of time, Quran falls onto deaf ears. But a person whose heart was really against Islam, it was the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that slowly, slowly had an effect on the heart of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. And in this month of Dhul-Hijjah, Umar radiallahu ta'ala goes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he accepts Islam. And immediately, from the first things that he does, he goes to the Quraysh and he openly announces Islam. Now, I want you to think about it. This was a time where people were like you and I, where we shorten our name, we hide our Islamic identity, we fight through an identity crisis. That to the point there are people that were saying that I'm not a Muslim, why? That so they can save their life. Umar radiallahu anhu goes out in the open and says, you want, if there's anything I'm not ashamed of, it's the fact that I believe in one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If anything I'm not ashamed of, it's the iman that I have in my heart, the iman that every single one of us here has in our hearts. And the second thing that Umar radiallahu anhu does, Umar radiallahu anhu, you know, many times we think of Umar, and we think of a person who's hot-headed, a person who's harsh, a person who's strict. And even though Umar radiallahu anhu was strict, and he himself admits it, when he actually becomes Khalifa, when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was on his deathbed, he calls a council and he says that, I want you all to give me your opinion of who should be the next Khalifa. And before you give me your opinion, let me tell you who I suggest. I suggest Ibn Khattab, Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And they say that, you want? And from this was Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, from this was Ali radiallahu ta'ala, from this was Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala, Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala. So the main companion, they said that Umar bin Khattab will be the best person. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith mentions, لو كان نبي بعدي لكان Umar. If there were to be a messenger after me, it would be Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Umar is so firm on his religion and so firm on the truth that if Umar is walking down a path, shaitan will leave that pathway. And, you know, sometimes we think to ourselves that how would shaitan react if we're walking down a path? And shaitan, instead of leaving, will come and, you know, take shots at us. And he does. And that's the reality of who shaitan is. The companions, they then turn around and tell Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala that the reason why we select Umar, the reason why we give Umar radiallahu name, is what's inside of him is actually better than what he expresses. And many times, it's the opposite in our situation. What we expressed out in the open, the person that I am, in public, in front of my community, at the masjid, at work, is a beautiful person. Is a person that you would like to know, of the person you want to be in the company of. But what I hide inside of me is very dark. Is a totally different persona. Is the actual reality of who I am. And but when it comes to Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the companions say, what's inside of him is actually better than what he expresses. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he becomes Khalifa, his inaugural speech, he says, I know many of you are scared that I'm harsh and I'm strict. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he then says that, rightfully so. My harshness and my strictness is going to be multiplied. And you can just imagine, like, the people in the khutbah at that time are like, oh my God, this is not good news for us. But then Umar radiallahu ta'ala turns it around and says, my harshness and my strictness will only be for that person who oppresses the Muslims. Will only be for that person who refuses to accept the truth. As for the person who believes, as for the person who works towards good deeds, they will find my softness. And Umar al-Thani had a very soft spot. And when he accepts Islam, he sees his brother Zayd there. And he goes to Zayd and he says, you beat me. You let the light of Islam come in you before it came into me. And this was the softness of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he carries on and he says, I will continue to show my harshness and strictness against the person who oppresses the Muslims until I do not take his cheek and put his cheek to the ground and put my foot on top of it. And after I do that, the whole point is not to show my dominance. The whole point is not to show that I have done this. I will then put my own cheek to the ground and humble myself. When the companions, they make mention that they were traveling with Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and they saw Umar was missing. And they went looking for Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And they find him behind a tree and he was actually talking to himself and telling himself that Umar, bring yourself down. Humble yourself. Show humility in who you are. Whereas the Khilafah Umar radiallahu ta'ala, which lasted 10 years, Islam spread. And it spread through a level that after Umar radiallahu ta'ala passed away, the Quran had to be recompiled. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he himself says that many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses of the Quran based off of what I wanted. And many different changes were brought into our religion because of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. For example, the verse of hijab. This was something that Umar radiallahu ta'ala desired. And he expressed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then later on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses. For example, the Quran that we have. It was Umar radiallahu ta'ala after the battle of Yamamah, when the Muslims fought against Musaylamah al-Kadhab, that we lost 40 Hufaz. 40 Hufaz passed away in that battle. And Umar bin Khattab, he goes to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and he says, Abu Bakr, if this carries on, today we lost 40, tomorrow we lose 100, then 10, then 200, we're going to lose the Quran like this. And he says that my opinion is that we compile the Quran in a book format. And then Abu Bakr as-Siddiq says, no, I cannot do what the Prophet did not do. And the narration says that Umar he stood there and he said, trust me, there's khair in this, there's good in this, there's good in this. Until Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said, my heart opened up to it. And I said, go and call Zayd r.a. And Zayd r.a., he's told that Abu Bakr and Umar are calling you. And you can just imagine his condition, that the most important two people are calling me. And he goes there, and they tell Zayd radiallahu anhu the same thing, that we are going to compile the Quran in a book format, and you are going to be the one that takes charge of this effort. And Zayd radiallahu anhu says that if that day they had told me that this mountain range is the mountain of Uhud, and we want you to move this mountain range and put it on that side, he said, that would have been easier. I would have got to work. But what they've told me was a huge task. But what we see is that this initiation began with Umar radiallahu anhu. And if we were to look at, again, the whole purpose of this khutbah is not to, you know, mention stories about Umar radiallahu anhu, but to derive lessons from it. How does this apply to our lives? Does our inside match at least our outside? Do we only express harshness, or is there a soft side to us? As we know, Umar bin radiallahu anhu, a very famous incident, that when he was Khalifa in charge of the Muslims at night, he would patrol the Muslims and he would find people that were going through hardship and he would help them until their hardship was relieved. And that was a softness of Umar radiallahu anhu's heart. Umar radiallahu anhu was that person, like we said, who found that Islam differentiated and divided. But then he became Al-Faruq, the one who divided the truth from the wrong. الَّذِي يُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ الْحَقِّ وَالْبَاطِلِ This was Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. And it was in the month of Dhul-Hijjah, like we said, that he accepted Islam. And in the month of Dhul-Hijjah, Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he was martyred by Abu Lu'lu. You know, I want to finish off today's khutbah with a few words of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an that helps me, and this shows the wisdom of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an in his sayings. Umar radiallahu anhu, one narration says that a person who shows you your faults is your true friend. A person who calls you out, who gives you constructive feedback. Many times we become possessive. Wait, who are you to give me feedback about how good my khutbah was or how bad my khutbah was? Who are you to give me feedback about how I should raise my children? Who are you to give me feedback of how I should treat my wife? Umar radiallahu anhu says the person that calls you out and shows you your mistake, that's your true friend. As for the person who is a yes man and gives you lip service, they're actually slaying you. They see your faults. They're not blind to it. But they don't point it out because they don't want you to become a better version of yourself. Another saying of Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, he says that, I have never regretted my silence. The Prophet ﷺ, one narration says, when a person gets hikmah, wisdom, they prefer to stay silent for a long period of time and they like to think. Umar radiallahu anhu says, I have never regretted my silence. As for my speaking up and saying stuff, I've regretted that often. And this teaches us to take control of our tongues. Be mindful of what comes out. The life of Umar radiallahu anhu has many, many lessons. And the reality is, until we don't implement those lessons into our lives, then Umar radiallahu anhu will just be a name that we name our children. Will just be a name that we name our masajid, Masjid Umar. But the true essence of the life of Umar bin Khattab is to bring those examples and those lessons of softness, of justice, of sticking to the truth, of loyalty to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of working on your own good deeds, of sacrificing. You know, it wasn't that Umar radiallahu anhu was this general and he himself didn't worship. He himself didn't focus on his ibadah. And that happens a lot of times, that people that are put into leadership, you know, roles, they focus on the community, but then they forget to refine their own spirituality and work on their own ibadah. And we see this from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that Aisha radiallahu anha was outside with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, how many stars are there in the sky? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And then Aisha radiallahu anha, she then follows up with a question. He says, is there anybody that has as many good deeds as there are stars in the sky? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. And this teaches you that Umar radiallahu ta'ala wasn't just a person that would always shout out, Adrib unuqu hada al-munafiq, that, Ya Rasulullah, give me permission, I'll take off his head. He wasn't just a person of harshness, but he focuses on his spirituality. He focused on the community around him. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us. He wants us to focus on our spirituality and to be a person that takes on the worries of others. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم من سائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه غفور رحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask for infinite mercy. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you make us people that learn from the lessons of our pious predecessors. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you make us people who learn from the lessons of the life of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that learn from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his seerah. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you give us an Umar in today's day and age. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the akhlaq of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you make us just. Oh Allah, we ask that you soften our hearts. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you make us people that are loyal to our religion, that are not shy of our religion. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us istiqamah, give us steadfastness in our religion. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you resurrect us on the Day of Judgment with the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever there is a Muslim that is going through any type of hardship, oh Allah, we ask that you remove the hardship from his path. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you unite our community. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you have mercy upon our community. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you remove any type of difficulty that's in our path. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask for Jannah and that which will bring us close to Jannah. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we seek protection from the fire of Jahannam and that which will bring us close to the fire of Jahannam. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be pleased with us. Oh Allah, be pleased with us. Oh Allah, be pleased with us. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa aqim salam.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله هيا للصلاة هيا للصلاة هيا للفلاح هيا للفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
There's a lot of space on the inside of the main hall. So those of you that are in the rotunda area, please come in. There's space towards my left and my right. So inshallah, if the brothers can move forward, if you see an empty space in front of you, especially on the sides, please fill out those rolls first. Jazakallah khair.
Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لإلاف قريش إلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Just a few announcements, inshallah. As you all may know, that masks have been made mandatory as long as you are in the masjid area. Please do wear a mask. Again, this is because, number one, the cases that are going up in Texas, as well as we have a lot of people that are returning back from Hajj, and we want to make sure that you and your family are safe, and that's why We made masks mandatory again. Inshallah, we will continue to monitor the numbers. And once the numbers are better, again, we will adjust accordingly. there will be a blood drive and free clinic tomorrow in partnership with ICNA. It will be from 12:30 to 3:30, as well as today we'll have our weekly free clinic that will be from Asr to Maghrib. Tomorrow there will be a young professionals program at 9 o'clock. It will be a bonfire, a social event. Again, the young professionals program that we have through Elevation is for people that are past high school until 30, 40 years old. Again, we encourage people to come and join and help us with that program. July 24th, there is a youth event, which is launching Cloud Career event. On Saturday, we will also have our VIPs of Islam. So next Saturday, we'll have our VIPs of Islam. An update on the construction. Alhamdulillah, the concrete has been poured, and within the next 4 or 5 days, it will be usable. And inshallah, in the next week or so, we will start putting up the wall panels. There is a dua and maghfirah for Sister Zainab Nisa, the mother of Brother Faisal Patel, who she has passed away in India. Also, Brother Abdul Rahim is requested that we make dua for his mother, who is sick. Her name is Zaida Begum in Hyderabad, India. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives jannah to those that have passed away, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives cure to those that are ill, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives their family strength. As always, please do donate to the masjid. The depends on your donations. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.